this morning. This comes from John chapter 1. One of the things I love about John's Christmas story is it doesn't really seem like the Christmas story. I mean, we've been singing about Jesus coming to earth. And by that I mean there's not much there other than Jesus, which is more than enough. We're not going to find an angel coming down to Mary to prepare her for Jesus' birth. We're not going to find Joseph wrestling with what to do with Mary's unexpected pregnancy. We're not going to find angels in the sky singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And it's not that these details aren't important, because they are. In fact, Matthew and Luke have recorded these details for us. It's just that John's Christmas story is just completely stripped bare of these details, leaving room for what is most important, what Ryan was teaching the kids and us this morning, and that's Jesus Christ. All we really need this Christmas is not more stuff. I love parties and I love all the stuff, and I know you do. These kids obviously love the stuff that they're thinking about getting, but we don't need that stuff. That stuff's great, it's encouraging, but we don't need more stuff. We don't need more parties or more people. What we really need is more Jesus. And that's what John gives us in this story. John just gives us Jesus. He teaches us who Jesus is, important truths that we need to know that encourage us in our faith. So let me read John's Christmas story. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. He writes the following: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless the preaching of your word. Please soften our hearts that we would receive this truth in Jesus' name. What I love about John's Christmas story is that it teaches us that our God has not left us alone. He hasn't left us alone to carry our own sins, to pay for our own sins. He hasn't left us alone with all of our fears, with all of our sorrow, with all of our guilt, but instead he has come after us. He has taken the initiative to love us and save us by sending his son Jesus into this world. This is what Christmas is all about. It's about God pursuing us. It's about God loving us. It's about God not leaving us in this darkness of our sins or in this dark world, but instead sending his son Jesus to reveal himself to us, that we might know him in a real personal way, and that we might be saved by faith in his son. This is what Christmas is about. John teaches us that since Jesus is the one true light, we must believe in Jesus to save us. And so we're going to look at that point by taking a look at three points as well. And our first one is this. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The idea underlying this term, the Word, is one of self-revelation, power, and divine speech. And so we read in Genesis about God creating this world and all that's in it. And he does it by the power of his word. Genesis 1:3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." And then in Genesis 1:24, it says, "God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so." See, what we learn here is that when God speaks, things get done. When God says something, his ultimate purposes are accomplished. There's power in God's word. All that we know today, all that exists today, it exists because of God speaking these things into existence. We are here today because God spoke. Throughout the Bible, we also see God use words to speak to people. We see him speaking to Adam and Eve. We see him speaking to Moses and the prophets and the apostles. In Isaiah 55, we see that God's word is effective. Verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And so we see that God's word is effective, it's efficient, and it's fruitful. It accomplishes his good purposes. It's powerful. God's word also communicates who he is. And with all this in mind, John applies this term, the word, to Jesus. Jesus is the one who specifically and accurately reveals God to the world and accomplishes God's good purposes for which he sent him into this world. Jesus is the word that John teaches us about. And he teaches us that this word has always existed. Think about this. This word that John's referring to in verse 1, it's always existed. Always existed. Before there was a manger in Bethlehem, and before there was even a sun and a moon in the sky, Jesus was there. John 1:1 again says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." The Word has always existed. The gospel of Jesus Christ did not begin with a virgin birth in a manger. The starting place of the gospel begins in eternity past. Jesus was there with God. God the Father and God the Son have eternally existed together in a relationship with one another. There was never a time when the Son was not with the Father, living united together in a perfect relationship. But John takes us even deeper into understanding who Jesus is when he writes, "The Word is God." Jesus is God in every way, yet he is distinct in his person from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand Jesus is God. John also teaches us that Jesus created all things. Verse 3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The baby in the manger that we like to celebrate, and oh, do we like to celebrate Christ's coming, was there in the beginning, creating all of this. See, we exist because he created this. So, church, as we celebrate Christmas, let's consider the greatness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us be reminded that he is the Word of God. And this Word is God. In our second point, we learn that Jesus is the one true light. John 1:4 says the following, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Here again, we see the power of Jesus. In creation, Jesus gave life, but through him or in him, we find true life with God as he shines like a light into a dark and fallen world and ultimately into our dark and sinful hearts. And this light will not be stopped. Nothing will overcome this light. Darkness cannot overcome this light. The light of Christ comes into the world and it pushes back the darkness. John the Baptist was sent by God to be a witness to this light so that all might believe in him and receive true life in Christ. And just so there's no confusion, John writes the following. He says, he, referring to John the Baptist, was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. I think there's just an important lesson here for us, that the one bearing witness is not greater than or more important than the one that we're pointing to. Jesus is the one true light. It's all about him. He's the one who perfectly reveals the holiness of God and exposes sin. He's the one who enlightens everyone, giving us all this perfect revelation of who God is. The rest of us are just image bearers, called to bear witness to who he is. We've all been created in the likeness of God, but we are not God, nor do we possess God's full likeness, but Jesus does. Jesus is the one true light. He is fully God and fully man, and he completely and perfectly reveals God to us. And the reason for this is because he is God. And he gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him. John 1:10, John writes the following. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The light of the world step down into darkness to reveal God to us, to save us, to give us hope, yet no one knew him. The creator of all things was walking with his creation, and his own people did not recognize him and believe in him. Instead, they rejected this light that brings eternal life. John 8, verse 12 says the following. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. I think this is interesting. As I read through the gospel and I think about God coming to earth, clothing himself with humanity, living in our place. He taught with authority. He did many miracles. He was God in the flesh, yet we read about how many people just rejected him. I just think it's crazy. The guy, he's raising people from the dead. He's healing people who've been sick for their entire life, yet we have people rejecting him. Doesn't that seem crazy? But then when we think about it, think about our own lives. We too have done that, haven't we? All of us have rejected him. None of us are born believers. None of us are born saved. The Lord has to shine his light into our hearts, open our eyes to see him, to believe in him. And so all of us have rejected him until he's given us this gift of faith. I'm aware that there's probably some here today who are still rejecting him. Rejecting this truth that God has so loved us that he sent his son Jesus into this world to live in our place, a perfect life. And then to die a humiliating death on a cross for our sins so that we would be forgiven. There's some here probably who are continuing to reject this truth. And I just want to urge you this morning to receive this good news. to believe that Jesus is the Word who dwelt among us, and that Word is God, and that He lived and died to save you, that you might become a children of God, that you might be saved. And so I want to encourage us to believe this truth. And finally, this leads us to our final point. Jesus is God in the flesh. John writes that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What John is saying here is that Jesus is both God and man. The Word that was in the beginning with God and is God became a human, taking on flesh, and in doing so did not diminish His divine nature in any way. And this is amazing just to think about. God in the flesh, fully God and fully man. John Owen writes the following. He says, "But when He assumed human nature, He became the representative of God's image to the church, so that only by Christ do we understand the wonderful and excellent things of God's nature and will. Without Christ, God would still be to us the invisible God. We see the glory of God only in the person of Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ that we'll ever truly know God, see His glory, and experience His grace. For Jesus is full of grace and truth, and He's poised to pour out this grace upon all who believe in Him, all who come to Him, repent of their sins, and trust in what He's done for us on the cross for forgiveness. All who believe in Him will receive this grace abundantly. As believers, we need to understand that we are absolutely dependent upon this grace, not just to save us, but to do anything in this world, to do what we're doing now and to do what you're going to do tomorrow. We are absolutely dependent upon Jesus Christ and His grace, which is abundant. One of my favorite quotes about this comes from Jerry Bridges. He said the following. He said, "Your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace." Think about that. Some of us need to hear that this morning. Your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And then some of us need to hear the other side of this. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. Every day of our Christian experience should be a day of relating to God on the basis of His grace and His grace alone. And this grace comes to us through God, who sent His Son Jesus into this world to live in our place and to die on a cross for us so that we would receive this grace. Isn't this amazing? And so we're here today because of this grace, and we're here today because we want to celebrate this grace. As we celebrate God taking the initiative to love us and to come after us. And so there's two responses, I think, to John's Christmas story. There's probably many of them, but there's only two I want to highlight. And the first one is this. It's to believe in Jesus. It's to believe that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus is God in the flesh, and that He came and He lived for us and He died for us. And so we need to trust in Him that He might save us. And the second response is one of worship and praise. That our God would so love us to send His Son to live for us and die for us is absolutely amazing. And so that's how we want to end our time. We want to worship. So if I can have the band come back up and join me. What we're going to do is we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And somebody's going to come and read another scripture. And then at the end, we're going to light candles. And so before we light those candles, just encourage parents just to, if your kid has a candle, to watch them. But the ushers will be coming around at that time to light those. If you could stand, please, and let us just stand by worshiping our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.